into 2009. The predictions, the forecasts of doom and gloom have been with us for quite some time. Now that the Christmas period is over and we settle into the new year, there are some official statistics out showing what we're spending, where we're building and so on internationally. We've got continued action and bailout packages by foreign governments, moves to bring interest rates in some major economies down to fairly close to zero in the United States, Japan doing that just before the end of the year, and a serious cutting too in the UK. Taking a look at the GFC, as it has become known, Stephen Mayne from MayneReport.com. Stephen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Louise. How are you?
Look, I'm very well. A little bit concerned about whether the carryover warnings and so on of the end of 2008 are coming to fruition. Is it too early yet, Stephen, to get a picture of where the world's going this year?
Well, I think it's probably going to be more of the same. We've just seen Wall Street fall for 6 days in a row. So we had a nice little rally over Christmas and New Year period, where some sort of major markets around the world were up by as much as 20% from their lows. But then we've just done 9% in six trading days in Wall Street. Deutsche Bank's announced a loss of 10 billion Australian overnight. US retail sales in December fell far faster than expected at 2.7%. The US oil storage on ships has rocketed because demand has plunged. So the story is still very much of a dramatic shock to the global economy. Mm. And the figures on the overall economic performance, the debt challenges, the capital raisings and the falling profit figures coupled with rising unemployment, I think, are going to be a continuing feature.
It's hard to know what to watch and what to draw information from, isn't it? As you say, so many things are falling and are in freefall or turmoil. What do you look at?
Well, I think, for me, we've seen a precipitous decline in asset value. So, and just a desperate attempt around the world to pay back debt, whether it's by governments or companies or individuals or banks. So I think you have to look at the falling asset prices. That's the things like the share market. Mm. And then you've got sort of the job losses and the unemployment figures coming through and the economic data, like the retail trade figures in the US overnight. Similarly, we had more encouraging housing finance figures in Australia yesterday, where the sign is that first home buyers really are starting to get involved because interest rates are lower and the government tripled the size of the first home owners grant. So that was a ray of light. People who can't find houses to rent are borrowing up big at cheap rates and trying to get into the home loan market, which is a feature we haven't seen for a while when the housing bubble was on in full flight.
No, and probably left with no choice in some cases. The Real Estate Institute in Tasmania telling us today that the vacancy rate for rental properties in this state's about 1%, so it's not getting any easier there. I guess we're still concerned too as to whether we get that protection of our economy that I think Kevin Rudd and Wayne Swan were talking about towards the end of the year. Do things like the housing and so on indicate that we might still have that little bit of a cushion in this country?
Well, I guess the good features we do have is that the thing that's really killed the US economy has been the plunge in housing prices and the oversupply of housing. And in Australia, we're a very tight housing market. We're 20,000 homes a year short. We've got a very strong growth in the population through immigration and the birth rate. Mm. So I think that does put a bit of a floor under house prices in Australia, which is the primary repository of wealth for Australians. So Australians have $1 trillion of household debt, but they've got sort of, I think it's close to $6 or $7 trillion of housing stock. Still, close to 60% of houses don't have any debt on them at all in Australia. And property is so much of the Australian story. So I think that does insulate us somewhat. And the other good thing we've got is that the Reserve Bank has only cut interest rates so far to 4.25%. Around the rest of the world, they're often very close to zero in places like Japan and the US. So if things do continue to get worse, and we do see a significant increase in things like unemployment, I think you will see another 1 percentage point cut in official interest rates, mm. which will provide another $10 billion of annual relief to the people in households who are holding that $1 trillion of household debt.
So what happens in a country, or what's happened in the past in a country where the official rates have been slashed so low that there is nowhere left to go?
Well, that's right. I mean, you've got no shots in the locker when your official interest rates are zero. I mean, all you can do as a government at that point is start borrowing and spending up big yourself. And if you haven't got a plunging in currency, then you can also start printing money, which is what the Americans are doing like never before. They are just constantly printing money. They'll be running out of trees soon. They're printing them so fast. And that's what the major economies are doing around the world. They have to try and reflate asset values because we've had incredible asset deflation. And one way of doing that is flooding the market with cash. So they're printing with their ears pinned back. And that's a short-term policy measure. But, I mean, really, you've just got to deal with the shock in the system. The whole world global economy is in shock about what has happened. And a lot of people have been living beyond their means. So people have got to reevaluate that and live within their means. And that'll mean, I think, quite a prolonged downturn globally.
Just finally, Ben Bernanke, we saw in the last 24 hours or so over making a speech, and I guess there's a tendency to hang on his word, the chairman of the Federal Reserve in the United States. How important is it when someone like him speaks about how he sees the situation?
Well, I mean, he's the most powerful central banker in the world, and because the central bankers are independent and they can set the price for money officially through interest rates, and equally they can control money supply into the economy, it's very important. And someone like that does have an eye on all the statistics. It has excellent research. So when he comes out and says something, that does give an indication to everyone else about how things are going. So. He's obviously been pretty pessimistic of late, as have most of the central bankers, and that sort of contributes to a lot of the gloom because people sit there going, well, you know, the data's all wrong, the authorities are pretty gloomy, things must be pretty tough out there. And I guess the contrary point to there is that Senator Obama is projecting a bit of optimism. He's sort of, you know, implying that his $1 trillion stimulus package can turn things around. And a lot of people are saying, well, actually, no. Obama's just talking as if the rest of the world doesn't exist, and you know, what happens to the rest of the world's economy even if Obama does his $1 trillion? The rest of the economies are in diabolical trouble as well. So, look, it's a tricky situation, but I think the fundamental thing that governments will do is they'll push interest rates down to zero, they'll print a lot of money, and they'll bail out the banks until we get some sort of turnaround. And they've indicated they'll do literally whatever it takes.
Certainly have. Thanks for your insight today, Stephen. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thanks, Louise.
Thanks, Stephen Mayne. His website is mainreport.com. It is 10:45.